Chapter 52. Bunny kept his left hand firmly on the doorbell, even as his right pounded on the door.
Come on, open up, I just want to...
He took a step back as the door opened a fraction. Through the chained gap, Sister Bernadette's intense blue eyes peered out.
Oh, it's you.
Her voice was softer than normal.
Hang on.
The door closed, and Bunny could hear the chain being slipped off inside. It reopened, and Sister Bernadette glanced around him, and then pulled her head back inside. He wondered if she was telling Sister Assumpta that she and the shotgun could stand down. Her face returned to the gap.
Is she here?
Asked Bunny.
No.
Would you tell me if she was?
Bernadette didn't respond. Instead, she gave him a sad smile. Bunny hadn't seen Simone for 2 days now. Not since he had left to follow Gringo. The plan had been to follow from a distance, to make sure Gringo didn't get himself into any more trouble than he was already in. He felt he owed it to him, for all the good it had done. The doctors had insisted on holding Bunny in hospital overnight for observation. They claimed he was showing the symptoms of concussion, considering how hard he had hit the rocks, though nowhere near as hard as O'Donnell, who had borne the full brunt of the impact, a concussion, a sprained wrist, and a few choice additions to his already impressive collection of bruises had been one hell of a result. He also had a bit of swimmer's ear. At least part of the reasoning behind Bunny being kept in became clear that night, when he was woken from his sleep by D.I. Fintan O'Rourke. Being officially concussed, Bunny had been unable to give any form of a statement. In hindsight, this had allowed D.I. O'Rourke some precious breathing space. Bunny had listened quietly as he had laid it out. It was couched in diplomatic language, of course, but the reality was that Rigger and his bosses had figured out what was going on. Bunny was still unsure if they had been suspicious beforehand, but the carnage on Broncluck Beach must have made it alarmingly obvious. Three of their officers, that they knew of, had gone into business for themselves, trying to rip off Carter as opposed to bringing him down. The scandal would rock the force for a decade at least, further damaging public trust. Officers O'Shea, Cunningham, and Spain would also be demonized in the press, with their families losing benefits and living with their shame. But there was another way. A gang of vicious cop killers and thieves had been brought to justice. The actions of a few brave officers had resulted in the largest drug seizure the state had ever seen. The Wings of an Angel luxury yacht had been boarded 15 miles off the coast by the Irish Navy, with backup from the Brits, and 72 bales of pure cocaine had been seized. All Bunny had to do was support the version of events O'Rourke would lay out, and any mumbles of doubt amongst his colleagues would be drowned out by the marching band warming up for the proverbial parade. O'Shea's family, Cunningham's husband, and Gringo's mother would receive their full death benefits and be warmed by memories of a fallen hero. Bunny had agreed to it. He had been so far beyond tired, and he would rather have Gringo remembered as a hero than a pariah. The next day he had given his official statement to D.I. O'Rourke and Butch Cassidy. Now and then, Butch had looked slightly suspicious, but she didn't probe. Thanks to the mountain of evidence against Tommy Carter, Dinny Muldoon was due back on full duty in the morning, so she had some skin in the game too. Bunny had lied through his teeth, engaged in a massive cover-up, and then they had popped him in the back of a patrol car and dropped him home. Simone hadn't been there. Which had led him here, to the doorstep of the Sisters of the Saint, once again. Bernadette looked up at him.
I'm afraid she has gone.
Bunny sagged against the doorframe. Knowing it had been coming didn't make it any easier.
Don't go looking for her. It isn't what she wants. I think you should respect that.
But...
Bernadette took something from the small table beside the door and handed it to him. A letter.
Would you like to come in?
Bunny shook his head. Bernadette gave him a long, lingering look.
Take care of yourself, detective. You're one of the good ones.
As she closed the door, he turned and sat on the cold stone steps. Then he opened the letter.
My dearest Bunny, this is the hardest letter I've ever had to write. I'm so sorry about Tim. I know you will have done everything in your power to try and save him, just as you did for me. Please don't beat yourself up about it. You can't save everybody, but I do so love that you try. I have tried and tried to think of a way around it, but the reality is that my past is always going to keep coming after me. I'm sorry I dragged you into it, and I can't in all good conscience continue to do that. With every fiber of my being, I'd love to stay with you here for the rest of my days, but it wouldn't be fair. You're a good man, and you deserve better than this. Please don't try and find me. I hope you get what you truly deserve in this life. Thank you for giving me the happiest time in mine, at a time when I thought I could never be truly happy again. I love you, Simone.